ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अग्निनातिमिरन्दास्या गणाञ्जनाचलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Of my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So before I begin, I pray for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here so that hopefully I can say something that will be useful and beneficial to all of us, including myself, since it is on the mercy of the Vaishnavas that such talks can depend in order to be able to be useful and beneficial and successful. So I thank you for whatever prayers, blessings that you may bestow upon me. We are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 13. And today I will start from text 148, for those of you who have books with you. First I will read, there are three translations and some purports, and then I will summarize some of the material that we have been listening to over the past few days, and then go forward somewhat. Translation. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Purport. It is said, Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam na gacchati. In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. However, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan. He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna, and he expressed his mind to her as follows. Sri Krishna continued, All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Purport. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities in Vrindavan. Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant, Jai Radhe! Radhe! Yes, when you walk down the street in Vrindavan, hardly anybody says Jai Krishna. They generally say, Radhe, Radhe! Radhe, Radhe! That is very common. And why do they do that? They do that because Radha is so dear to Krishna that if they have any need, they have any want, they have any desire, go to Radha, because if she will ask on your behalf to fulfill that desire, it is more likely that Krishna will fulfill it because he is so sold out, he is so surrendered, so, if you will, enslaved to Srimati Radharani. Her love is what he's enslaved by, which we'll get into in a little while. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Purport. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant, Jai Radhe! From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan, and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid. But Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. Consequently, Srimati Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the enchanter of the enchanter of Cupid. So those are the three verses that I've been asked to. So this is the beginning of a new segment in this particular chapter. Just previously, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were dancing at the Rathayatra festival. There was intense ecstasy, intense chanting, intense drumming. There were 7 parties and 14 madangas were playing. And kartels were banging. Devotees were singing loudly. And Lord Chaitanya was becoming more and more ecstatic. And he continued to remember something. And what he remembered was when there was a solar eclipse. And during that solar eclipse, those of the Yadu dynasty and the Kuru dynasty, they went to Kurukshetra to bathe at a holy place, because that is generally very auspicious during solar eclipse, to bathe in a holy place and to perform some austerities there. Samanta Panchika is the holy place at Kurukshetra that they went to, and there are 5 lakes there which were dug by Parashuram himself many, many thousands of years previous. And the reason he dug them is that he had fought literally millions of Kshatriyas and killed them, and they needed a place for all that blood. So what he did is he dug these 5 holes in which all that blood went into. But at the end, when it was all done, why did he kill those Kshatriyas? Because they were demoniac, and they were not following the rules and the laws of God. And they were not acting as exemplary kings as they should have, and therefore people were being led astray, misguided, and becoming unfortunate as a result. So Parashuram, being an incarnation of Krishna, His job as a warrior incarnation was to destroy all of this villainy. As Krishna says, wherever and whenever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to annihilate the miscreants and to deliver the pious, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna comes at various times. He himself personally comes once in every day of Brahma, but he has many different incarnations who come at various times. And of course, one manifestation, or his pure manifestation, in the form of Srimati Radharani, or not the form, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani, was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srila Prabhupada so mercifully came from India to propagate this Sankirtan movement, which is not only the chanting of the holy name, but the larger Madanga, which is the distribution of Vedic literature, such as the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all of the books which help people become properly fixed and properly focused upon the true and real goal of life, which is to develop pure love of God. This is the only purpose. But people have become so misguided by irreligious, non-religious leaders who don't know the purpose of life, who think that the purpose of life is merely to expand the economy, merely to increase one's sense pleasure, merely to achieve more property or more prosperity, merely to achieve greater friendship or social contacts or social assembly. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, came to show us that there is a higher goal, not that we have to necessarily give up the world itself, but we need to utilize it in a proper way so that we can truly gain real happiness, happiness within, which is inner peace, inner joy, inner strength, inner freedom, inner happiness. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he attains the Supreme Lord. So this is what Srila Prabhupada brought us, to go from external happiness to inner happiness, which can only occur, which can only be achieved when the soul is put in contact with the Supreme Soul, or Super Soul. When the soul is in contact through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or just hearing the pastimes of the Lord, remembering Krishna's pastimes, serving his lotus feet, such as on the altar, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, practical service to the Lord, friendly association with Krishna, and offering or sacrificing one's body, one's mind, and also one's words to the Lord. These are all the means, these are all forms of devotional service by which one can come closer and closer to Krishna. In other words, the soul, which is clogged, or which is covered with all sorts of impurities, such as lust and anger and greed and envy, gluttony and sloth and laziness, and all of these different qualities which keep us, which hinder us, which withdraw us or take us away from Krishna, the chanting of the holy name or the performance of any of these nine different forms of devotional service, they remove that covering. It's pretty much like if you had a rough piece of wood and you take some sandpaper and you begin to rub the paper over the wood, and the roughness gradually, slowly but surely disappears, and at the end the wood is smooth and you can run your hand over it without getting a splinter. Similarly, the covering of the soul, which compels us to be moved and motivated and directed by the three modes of material nature, such as passion, ignorance and goodness, all of these push us in different directions and cause us to become attached to this material world to such an extent that we feel that the material world is our all in all, and all our happiness depends upon external happiness. My ears, let them be stimulated. My eyes, let them be stimulated. My tongue, let it be stimulated. My skin. And this becomes the end all and be all, but it never brings any permanent happiness, because no sooner have I stimulated my eyes or my genitals or my ears, it's over, it's gone. Where is my next fix coming from? So I'm in anxiety. And if I'm not full, if my anxiety is not satisfied, I'm frustrated. And if I'm frustrated, what is the next thing? I'm angry. And if I'm angry, what comes from that? Hatred. So people walk around angry and hatred because their senses are not being satisfied as they probably were satisfied in the past. And as a result, they develop an habituation, an addiction, an attachment. Attachment is the feeling that something is indispensable to me. I can't live without it. So when a person begins to believe and think and feel and will, I can't live without sense gratification, then what does he do? What can he do? He tries to find some form of sense gratification. If he can't find the form that he wants, then he may take some alcohol or some drugs. Anything to get out of this horrible, miserable, troublesome situation. So that's what is done. Now, Lord Chaitanya came to overcome all of this through the Sankirtan movement, which gives us a proper way to live. Regulative principles, no eating of meat, fish, or eggs, no alcohol, no intoxications of any sort, no gambling, no meat eating. We give up these for what reason? First of all, it's pleasing to Krishna, and that is our chief reason. But also, it's beneficial for our body, it's beneficial for our mind, it's beneficial for our emotions, beneficial for our intelligence. So all these come to benefit, and with such a peaceful and focused and centered consciousness, we can then direct it to, we can focus it on, we can center it on Krishna and all things pertaining to Krishna. Otherwise, it is very difficult if one is being pulled by the material world and he wants pleasure here, and then one is being pulled by the spiritual, and he's like a person being pulled or trying to ride on two boats going in two separate directions. So, as I mentioned before, in this Kurukshetra, where there was a sacrifice going on, Krishna was there, but he was not there in the manner that Srimati Radharani had known him. She had known him as a cowherd boy, frolicsome, playful, spontaneous, easygoing, casual, very friendly. Whereas when he was at Kurukshetra, he came with the Yadu soldiers, and he was dressed like one of the Yadu. He was a general. And he was also the de facto king. King Ugrasena was the actual king. And so was Balaram. So he was among all these warriors, and there was elephants, and there was chariots, and there were horses, and there was a mood of the military, a mood of sophistication, of control, of regimentation. And when Srimati Radharani saw Krishna in this environment, she literally cringed. She says, I can't, this is incongruous. To see Krishna in this manner, it makes me feel very uncomfortable. And that's why in that verse before, he said that she wants to take him, she and all the gopis want to take him back to Vrindavan in that very simple village, unsophisticated atmosphere, where they had loving pastimes, ras dance, where they would watch him go out with his cows, where he would call out to his friends, where they would play games, and so forth. So, Srimati Radharani, she is lamenting the fact that she's seeing him in this environment. So she and her gopi friends, what they did is they coaxed Krishna to come into a quiet, private area where she could talk to him. And Lord Chaitanya is expressing the mood of Srimati Radharani. She's saying, I can't take you in this manner. This is not the Krishna that I know. She says, the Krishna that I know is rather simple and sweet and frolicsome and full of playfulness. And that's the way I know you. And this way, you're so sophisticated. You look so different. You even speak differently. You speak like the people, of course, of Dwarka speak. It's a much more sophisticated environment. So she wanted to, that's what the whole Ratha Yatra festival is about. It's about devotees wanting to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, where they can engage in various kinds of pastimes with Krishna. Now, it is mentioned that in one sense, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And yet here the gopis are saying, we want to bring you back to Vrindavan. So that sounds like a bit of a paradox. So it really needs some explanation and deliberation. So the gopis, on the one hand, they're saying, we want to bring you back. And yet, we all know that Krishna himself never leaves Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Krishna book, that Krishna, when he left Vrindavan, he left his bhava feature in Vrindavan. The bhava feature is his very presence. And all those who are moving towards becoming pure devotees, or who are pure devotees of the Lord, when they think of Krishna, his presence becomes fully present in their heart. And it is just like having Krishna with them. They feel his form. They see his form within. He's there. But the interesting thing about this, even though they're seeing his form in their heart and they can't stop seeing it, still, they want to see his form with their physical eyes. They want to hold his hands with their physical hands. They're not so interested, as Srimati Radharani says, we're not interested in meditating on you. Once, after Krishna left Vrindavan and he went to Mathura, he sent Uddhava to do two things. To read a letter to the gopis telling them how much he missed them and how much he appreciated them. But also he wanted to instruct Uddhava, who was a very advanced devotee, he was a cousin of Krishna, and he had been instructed, or he had learned from Brihaspati. And so he was very knowledgeable about bhakti yoga. But Krishna wanted to give him a greater, it's like going from master's degree to PhD degree. He wanted to give him his PhD. And the only way you can get a PhD in bhakti yoga is you actually have to see the gopis, hear how they speak, see the way they are so continually and completely focused upon Krishna without end. When they're working, they're churning butter, they're thinking of Krishna. When they're giving suck to their babies, they're thinking of Krishna. When they're serving their parents or serving their husbands, they're thinking of Krishna. Never does a moment go by when they're not thinking of Krishna. And when they're thinking of Krishna, tears are flowing down their eyes. And they're remembering the wonderful pastimes that they had with Krishna in the past. So, the interesting thing about this is that while they are experiencing the memories that they had of Krishna and themselves in various pastimes, on the one hand, out of separation, tears are flowing down their eyes because they feel he's not there. But on the other hand, because they're so intensely in love with him, they're so absorbed in him, they can't forget him, they're with him. So simultaneously, they're with him and they're away from him. Away from him physically, with him internally. So Uddhava tried to give them some guidance, some direction, and he said to them, what you should do if you're feeling some separation from Krishna is just close your eyes and just meditate on him. You have so many wonderful experiences, and if you just meditate on them, that will be, you'll actually feel like you're just with him. So Srimati Radharani says here, just a few pages back, she says, this is a cheating process. We don't want any meditating. What do we need to meditate for? We don't need to get liberated. We're already liberated. We never stop thinking of Krishna. So what do we need liberation for? We have something higher, bigger, better, greater, grander. This is, what is this meditation? This is a cheating process, she said. We don't have to meditate on Krishna. We want to see Krishna in the flesh. This is what they wanted. We want to hold Krishna's hand. We want to massage his feet. We want to play music for him. We want to cook food for him. We want to serve him physically until we drop. This is the mood of the gopis, until we drop. And all we can do is think, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. That's all they want, just Krishna. So when Uddhava saw this, he was amazed. He was astonished. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. Such an amazing degree of devotion they had. And when he left Vrindavan, his only prayer to Krishna was, my dear Lord, please let me be in my next birth. Let me be the grass of Vrindavan that the gopis can trod over. Let me be a tree that they may lean upon. Let me be a flower that they may offer to you. Let me be in some way associated with them so that I can feel the glory, the greatness of their loving vibration upon my form and thereby attain this high, elevated, great, wondrous position of bhakti. This was the mood of Uddhava. So he got a very good education when he went to Vrindavan. He went there to teach, but he ended up receiving a full education in the highest levels of bhakti yoga. So here, Srimati Radharani is, she's lamenting and complaining. She says, you know, how could you leave Vrindavan? Your mother, Yashoda, she's crying all the time. Your father, Nanda, he's crying. The cowherd boys, they're leading their cows, but they all feel dead. You're killing them by being absent from Vrindavan. Please, will you please come back? We need you. We want you. We can't live without you. You are slowly killing them by not appearing there. So we beg you. So interestingly, of course, they were feeling tremendous ecstasy, but tremendous sorrow at the same time. That is the nature of this Madhurya Ras. There is love and separation, and of course Madhavendra Puri, he resurrected this. He brought forth this, that this is superior to love Krishna in separation. Srila Prabhupada used to say, deserve and then desire. How to deserve? Serve, 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 and you will then deserve. Deserve comes from serve, and serve comes from love. In fact, service is the expression of love. Without service, there is no such thing as love. It is only a word. It is meaningless. It is empty. It is vacuous. It has no meaning. But when it is accompanied by service, not just service, loving service. We need to throw our hearts into the activity. Not just do the activity. Anybody can do the activity. You get monkeys to do devotional service. Anyone can do it. You can train them. Yeah, it's not even difficult. Monkeys can do devotional service. They'll get benefit too. But we go further. The monkeys don't know about injecting love for Krishna into the devotional service. And if we forget Krishna when we perform the service, then we are not getting the full benefit that we could. As Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Krishna says this over and over. Surrender unto me utterly. Surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Krishna goes on and on telling us, please remember me. One who can remember Krishna will ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So here we see that as Srimati, Lord Chaitanya is remembering all of this. And Sarup Damodar is reciting various verses to him to stimulate, to stir, to arouse these higher ecstasies. And when Lord Chaitanya is dancing, 8 different ecstatic symptoms begin to manifest. He becomes stunned at times, and Lord Jagannath stops the cart Because Lord Chaitanya has gone away. And Lord Jagannath wants to see him dancing. So he stops the cart. Then Lord Chaitanya comes forward and he begins dancing. And then Lord Jagannath moves the cart forward. And then Lord Chaitanya, he becomes stunned. He's perspiring profusely. He's horripilating. The hairs on his body are up. In fact, his arms don't look like normal arms. The goosebumps are so big, they look like peas. He's trembling. He's trembling so intensely that some people think that his teeth are going to fall out. He's going like that. He's weeping. Tears are coming out of his eyes like a syringe, just shooting them out. And devotees are catching the tears and rubbing them all over their body. Jai, 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 wonderful, wonderful. And they're feeling so uplifted, as they're feeling as if they're being taken up into the spiritual world by the tears of Lord Jagannath. And then Lord Jagannath, he's foaming at the mouth, and then this devotee named Shubhananda, he grabs the foam and drinks it. How fortunate is such Shubhananda? It's mentioned in the text. Also, other symptoms are manifesting. As I said, he's weeping and he's trembling and so many different things. And for a few moments, he falls to the ground and he leaves his senses, so to speak. He leaves external consciousness and he's in the mood completely of Srimati Radharani. Now, Lord Chaitanya came, as I said, to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, but he also came for other reasons. One of the reasons that he came for, there were three. He is Krishna himself, as we know. But Krishna was very curious. He became curious and he was wondering. He's receiving all this honor and glorification, adoration, distinction, and worship. And he's wondering, what does it feel like? You know, what does it feel like to be on the other side, on the devotee side? I'm the recipient, I'm the Purusha, but how does it feel like to be Prakriti? And look at Srimati Radharani, she's just crying and she's in ecstasy. What is she going through? So he wanted to know, what does her love feel like? What does it feel like to love me the way she's loving me? And he also wanted to know, what does my sweetness taste like? She's tasting a sweetness that I don't even know about. And how can I know what I taste like? The only way I can do that is by assuming the mood and the demeanor and the understanding of Srimati Radharani. And also, look how blissful she is. Those symptoms I just described of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those were Srimati Radharani's symptoms also. So what is she experiencing? That's making her teeth chatter and perspiring and all of this jumping and dancing and passing out. What is she experiencing? So Lord Chaitanya had to assume. Originally Krishna and Radha were one. Then they separated and then they became Krishna and Radha. So now Krishna comes back in the form of Radha Krishna. And the predominant mode, the predominant feeling was that he wanted to fully taste what Srimati Radharani was experiencing. And Swarup Damodar Maharaj and Ramananda Roy, they knew so much scripture and they would just recite various verses to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's all it took. And he would immediately be propelled, projected into the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he got the opportunity to actually experience what was always a curiosity to him. But he did more than that. He also allowed us, enabled us to see the highest expression, what is called Mahabhav, to give us something to aspire after. Who knows? In my case, I cannot see millions of lives before coming to a position like that. But at least I have something to aspire to, something to look toward. I have a paradigm. And in that paradigm, I can at least keep focusing, keep begging, keep praying, keep asking, my Lord, please remove all these impurities from my mind. Please take them away. Please free me from them so that I can love you purely someday, someplace, sometime. So, therefore, we have something to shoot for, as we say. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, would sometimes himself, and some of you here know from the past, sometimes Prabhupada would be talking and tears would flow down his eyes. And Prabhupada was not doing this to put on a show at all. He just couldn't help it. And he would try to control it, but because he didn't want to make this, but still, because he was so filled with love for Krishna, love for serving his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and he was so enthralled by the wonderful service that his devotees were doing. He would cry just seeing the sacrifices, so many devotees. As we were staying out 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, especially during Krishna marathons, some of the stuff that was going on. It was absolutely amazing. The mood that flourished during that time, it is completely different than it is today, unfortunately, but happens to be the fact. Devotees were ready to do anything and everything. Death was nothing if that's what had to happen. The mood of sacrifice. And we need to recover that mood, though. It's not something that just took place. Srila Prabhupada inspired us. He instilled it in us. And those of us who know about it, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to try to generate it, to try to activate it in those who never saw it, who never recalled it, can't even imagine it. So if we can instill it into those who have come later, then what will happen is that same intense mood of sacrifice, without the sense, without the feeling, without the idea that I am sacrificing. How can we think that we are sacrificing anything when our debt to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna is infinite? Infinite means has no end, has no top, no bottom, ever present, ever there. So if we are indebted to the Supreme Lord, indebted to Lord Chaitanya, indebted to all the devotees of Krishna, if we have an unrepayable debt, then the mood that we should do that is not to be praised, not to be complimented, not to be adored, not to be applauded. We owe! So if we owe, we don't deserve to get anything. But Krishna is so merciful that he loads us with his love in so many different ways. People come with you, give you a book, they give you Mahaprasadam, they give you this, they give you that. We have to always be accepting all these gifts as love offerings from Krishna. We should never think that I'm worthy of this. I deserve this. I'm supposed to get this because I did such and such. Never. I haven't done enough. I have done nothing. I haven't even scratched the surface. Please, Lord, if you want to give me gifts, fine. But in my mind, I give them back to you. Because you deserve them, and that's all my life is for. Whatever I receive from you, through your devotees, through whatever means it comes, I give it back to you because you deserve everything. I deserve nothing. Just let me serve you. If you will give me that, I will be completely satisfied. Because in service to you with love in my heart, I will achieve everything and then some. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Blowing me away. Anybody have any questions? It's a little over time. Yeah, I went over time. So if there's a... Yes. What is that? He knows we've been passed. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.